Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, guys, I was reading just the other day about the Canaanite woman. And I kind of looked at this a totally different way than before. Because this passage always bothered me. And I'll just read it. And we're talking about the Canaanite woman. This is in Matthew 15. It says, the Canaanite woman from the vicinity, came to Jesus crying out. She says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Mm. And then Jesus didn't say a word. So his disciples came to him and said, God, just send her away. She just keeps crying out after us. And Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman came again, knelt before him this time, and says, Lord, help me, she said. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Mm. And then she says, yes, Lord, she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Mm. And then Jesus replies, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.
Wow.
And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You know, when you first read this, and I've read it many, many times, and it was just like, God, really? Did you have to be that rough with her? Was that necessary? But as I looked more into this, everything Jesus did was for a reason. He was always teaching, whether he was speaking with his mouth or he was saying nothing at all, mm-hmm. which is just totally interesting, this whole segment here. First of all, you got to think about it. This is a Canaanite woman, which was not a Jew, okay? Right. And back in those days, you know, non-Jews were considered just, you know, scum of the earth. You know what I'm saying? They just were not, they didn't associate with them. They wanted to do with them. They were looked down on. And you look at this woman, and she knew this, obviously. I mean, she probably was ridiculed for years. You know, they just brought up that way. Right. You know, stay away from the Jews. They don't like us. Just, you know, mm-hmm. don't mess with them. You know, which we could probably relate to a lot of that today, today's time. But she didn't let that stop her. She knew this man had what she needed. She wanted healing for her daughter, and she knew that Jesus had the answer. So her persistence, think about it. She didn't let Jesus' silence stop her when she first cried out. She didn't let the disciples' response stop her because they weren't real happy about the whole thing. They were trying to get rid of her. And she came back even after Jesus responded to her, which when you first look at it, it didn't seem like it was a very favorable. It was like, wow, Jesus is blowing her off. But no, he was actually testing everybody. I mean, it was like the whole thing was a test. You know, mm-hmm. how is she going to be persistent enough to keep coming? Are the disciples going to have any type of, are they going to have any empathetic bone in their body?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about it.
Right.
You know, and just the whole thing was just a huge lesson plan. But her persistence, that's what really got me out of this. She didn't let any of those things stop her. She knew that Lord, you know, even dogs eat from the master's table. And Jesus was just blown away by her faith. He says, daughter, your daughter's healed. You know what I'm saying?
Just like that.
Mm. It's your faith. And we talked about this the other day. Mm-hmm. It's your faith that got the healing.
Right.
You know, right. It was going to require something from her. Mm-hmm. Not just Jesus, you know, saying something and it was going to happen. It required something from her.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes people think that, well, I'll just pray for it once. God knows what I need. And if I keep praying, then that shows my lack of faith.
Exactly.
Which is the contrary, because when you have faith, you're locked in. You've received it, and you know, you received it, and you're praying it out, and you're being persistent. I think about the woman who went to the judge. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this woman's gonna wear me out. She's gonna, and Lord says that if an evil judge, wicked judge, you don't care, you know, if he doesn't care about this woman just because just because he didn't want her to wear her out, mm-hmm. he answered. How much more am I going to, you know, come on now.
Exactly. And also you think about, she could have just got offended by the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How many times have we gotten offended by just the slightest thing and we're like, psh, whatever.
Right.
And off we go. You know, we're stonewall. Ain't going to talk to me like that.
Right.
How many people miss God?
She could have missed
because
it.
Of offense. I mean, that's a huge, huge. Listen, we have several segments on the Torch. I encourage you, VFMTV.com, go to the Torch and just look up offense, offended, because so many people miss out, I mean, on huge, huge mega blessings for God, because just that's just a tool of the enemy. You just get hit with the offense, you get locked up, froze up, and that wall goes, boop, straight up.
Hard.
And who loses?
Yeah.
You lose.
That's right.
You lose it. She didn't get offended.
Didn't get offended. She had every opportunity. Mm. Jesus not saying nothing to her. The disciples blowing her off. Being called a dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Called a dog.
You think about that. I don't know if I could handle that. I'd be like, never mind.
Right.
Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Persistent.
I admire this woman. It's just amazing, her persistence.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and we
in spite
just
of all that.
We can't, you know, we can't give up, and you know, just because it's like, well, I prayed three times I prayed for it, and it did, like, really?
Is that
what do you mean? Three whole prayers, three Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I prayed, and it did not happen.
Think like, about it. Sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
Or not at all.
But if you contend mm-hmm. with faith, and you move in faith, and you believe God in faith, ask, seek, and knock, mm-hmm. right? Those who, you know, if you ask, you, there's three steps there. There's asking, there's a seeking, mm-hmm. right? You know, and there is a knocking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a persistent going after God. It's a persistent believing that what God said can happen will happen. What God said is going to happen mm-hmm. is going to happen in your life.
Right.
But you got to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get engaged. You know, walking with Jesus is not a spectator sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people are sitting on the sidelines and they're watching other people have encounters with God. They're watching other people get healed. They're watching other people get blessed. Mm-hmm. They're watching other people hear God's voice and see it radically change. And they're seeing all of this stuff, and it's like they're tagging along like reality TV, and they're trying to throw themselves in the midst, but they're not doing it.
Right.
And it's like, why settle to tag along? Why settle, like we say, you know, why eat another man's groceries?
Yeah.
You know, why read one more devotional of what somebody else has experienced with God? When if you're a believer, the same God that was in them speaking to them is the same God that's in you speaking, could speak to you, or is speaking to you, if we would tune our ears
mm-hmm.
to what he is saying.
Right. You know, just in the very definition of faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.
Right.
You know, and just because you don't see it within, after a prayer or two or three, you know,
mm-hmm.
how many people just give up praying? They stop praying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and because they're not seeing it, well, right. that's just the total opposite of faith.
Right.
You know, it's being certain of what you do not see.
Yeah. We're so accustomed to that microwave generation that we think things should just happen instantly.
Instantly, right. And it just doesn't work that way, you know, because God tests your faith, you know, over and over. You know, you've been talking about the Bible miniseries, you know, over the last couple of days. And
mm-hmm.
I actually got to watch it last night because I recorded it.
Oh, cool.
You know, and you look at Abraham's life, God continued to test his faith.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and
that's right.
Even to the point to, you know, when he told him to go sacrifice Isaac on the mountain, he's like, Lord, have I not shown you enough faith?
Mm.
Have I not shown you enough? But God requires more.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, up to what point are you going to believe me?
Right.
You know, what, you know, are you going to stop believing me for this?
Right.
Because you don't see it, or because you get blessed so many times, are you going to stop believing? Mm-hmm. Are you going to stop, you know, continuing to love me, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
And it was a very powerful moment, you know. It's like, yeah. God continues, you know, because, you know, and God knows our heart. He's wanting us to see what's in our heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
you know,
he's not looking for something.
Right.
He's
right.
not trying to find something he don't know.
Exactly.
He's wanting us to find out.
That's right.
I just actually saw this quote last night, and the quote was, "Never insult God with small thinking and safe living. The life of faith is a life of certain uncertainty."
That's good.
But if you have God, faith in God, you know it's all going to work out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, my question was regarding this sanctity of life and abortion and partial birth abortion. What is a physician's stand when he performs abortions or she performs abortions, considering the fact that they took the Hippocratic Oath, which says they will do everything in their power to withhold and sanctify life?
You know, the fascinating aspect about that is I watched the testimony and participated in the trial in New York, and in that particular case, they don't really care about what their oath said. They believe that there's an unfettered, non-restricted right to abortion at any time during a pregnancy from the first month to the ninth. And they see no distinction between even the child who's outside of the womb and that abortion taking place versus one that's in the first month. They look at it all the same.
Visit us at aclj.org.
Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, on VFN Radio yesterday, we were talking about, you know, who does God love? Who does God love, and loving those that God loves? And it's so important. It's such an important question. And we found out and we know that, you know, God loves the whole world. He loves everyone. Mm-hmm. He loves everyone. But here's another question. We ask, you know, who does God love? Mm-hmm. But who loves God? Who's the one that loves God? I mean, there has never been a more important and misunderstood virtue than love. Many today have asked, would say, they love God. They love God. Mm-hmm. But what does that really mean? What does that really mean? I found out that love means a whole lot of different things to so many people.
Yeah.
And so what's man's chief end? What's man's purpose in life? Mm-hmm. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, according to Mark 12:30. We're made to love God with everything in our fiber. With everything within us. You know, is it impossible? Is it possible for someone to think that they're actually loving God when in reality they're not?
Right.
Now, perception is no joke. You know, mm-hmm. Perception is the idea. You know, you may think that, but perception, intention, and reality, you know, those are different things. Mm-hmm. Those are different things. In John 14:21 says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Check this out. Verse 23, Jesus replied and says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Mm. You know, loving God means that we have his commands. You know, God clearly tells us what his love language is. He's like, you know, let me tell you how you love me. Let me help you out here. You know, loving God means we have his commands, his teachings, and our hearts are set to obey him. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a society today that you know, loves, if you will, to give lip service and loves, quote unquote, to hear beautiful poetic words. But at the end of the day, love is not about saying beautiful words or poems or candlelight dinners or love's not about love songs. In reality, love is about action. Mm-hmm. Love, true love, is displayed. Love is a verb. Mm-hmm. It's a verb. It's action. And we can't get caught up in emotions. We can't have a warm affinity, a skipping heart, if you will, a pleasant thought, and say, oh, that's love. You know? Mm-hmm. That's not love. The highest form of love is a choice. It's a choice. Jesus said, greater man has no man than to lay his life down for a friend. That's love.
Right.
That's love. Is to give yourself for someone else. It costs you something. True love costs. True love is displayed.
Right.
You know, it comes at a price. And Matthew 7 says, many will say to me on that day. Mm-hmm. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I mean, listen, he says many. He didn't say some. Mm-hmm. He said many. Because I think people have many will have a rude awakening on that day.
That's right.
Unless they repent. But God can't be used. He'll say plainly, I never knew you. That word knew, it means intimacy. It's the same word, you know, in the Hebrew. In the Old Testament, when it says Adam knew Eve, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like there was no intimacy, there was no love here. I never knew you. You used my principles, you used my name, you did this stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. But where was the love? Where was the love? And I'm telling you that if we want to turn back a nation, if we want to get to the place where God is honored again. God can't be honored in the schools. God can't be honored, you know, in government. God can't be honored in the public forum unless he's first honored at home and in our hearts.
Right.
We got to get back to basics. We got to get back to what's real. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to get back to that place. You know, we have to set our hearts to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is what God's called us to do. You know, and it's a heart of obedience. None of us can be 100% obedient to God. But we can sure try. We can sure cry out to him and say, God, I want to obey you. I want to love you with my heart. I want to obey you with my mind, with what I think about. I want to obey you with my strength. I want to obey your word. See, a believer says, listen, God, what does your word say? I want to follow you. Mm-hmm. We throw terms like Christians around, but today everybody's a Christian. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Are you a Christ follower? I like the word, I'm a follower of Christ.
Right.
Why? Why are you a follower of Christ? Because I follow him. You know what I'm saying? I follow him. Mm-hmm. I try to do what he says to do. That's my aim. That's my goal. And if I don't, I'm crying out to him. I'm saying, God, forgive me. And he does.
That's right.
And I aim to do it again. But we have to recapture certain words. And this is what happens. There's an obedience. We talked about, you know, the rewarded secret life yesterday. That there's a life in God, a secret life where you can, it's just you and God, where you do the things that God's asked you to do. You pray, you give, you fast, among other things. But we talked about those three things, about that when we do those things in secret, not for a public audience, not for the attention of men, not for the praises of men, but we do it for the audience of one. When we do it alone between us and God, God rewards us. God blesses us. Mm. He says he'll reward us for that.
That's right.
Well, let me tell you something. There is a blessing. There is a blessing when we truly love God. Mm-hmm. Obeying his teachings, obeying his commands. We stand to be blessed big time. And the first thing says that Father God will love him, and he and Jesus will come to him and make their home with them. Listen, many are praying today for God's visitation. They're praying for God's visitation. Why should we settle for God's visitation when we can have God's habitation? You don't want God's visitation? Yeah, visit is nice, but Lord, we want you to come and dwell with us. We want you to come and abide with us, God's abiding place. God said he looked and looked and looked for a man to stand in the gap. God is looking. He's searching for faithful ones. He's looking for burning ones. He's looking for ones that have a passion to love him and obey him and to lay their life for him. He's searching. He's looking. He says, I want to make my home. I want to abide with that person who loves me. He says, the Father will love them. I will love them. Hey, we're coming to your house. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna come with you and make our home with you because you've honored me. Mm-hmm. The second thing says, God will show himself to the one who loves him. Now, how beautiful is that? We talked about Jesus revealing himself. We talked about that, I believe, last week, where he revealed himself to Mary and to the disciples and to Thomas. And the Lord is still revealing himself today. But he's just not, you know, he wants you to seek after him. He wants you to obey him. He wants you to put him at the forefront of your life. You know, the Word of God tells us in James 4:8 says that if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you.
That's right.
But it starts with you taking the first step, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, I said before, your first step oftentimes determines God's second step. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And we're going to start redefining certain words today.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very good.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people throw words like, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
Like,
do you really?
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
I think about something Chris said one time. Somebody said, oh, I love you. And he says, well, act like it.
That's right.
Well, act like it.
Yeah. It's a verb. It's something that you do. It's not something that you say.
Right. Exactly. And we got to start defining ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to really start to look at 1 Corinthians 13 love, right? It's like, come on. We got to get back to that place where we say, look, God, you know, I'm going to love you. I'm not going to give you lip service. I'm going to love others the same way. I'm not just going to just say these words. But you think about it. I mean, people love words. They love saying words. They love rhymes. They love ishy gushing. You're like, this ain't real. This ain't real.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Valentine's Day. You know how much money is spent on that one day, billions and billions of dollars? On just toys and cards, and it's like one day, really? Is this?
Mm-hmm.
And the expression of love is a gift. That's the expression of love. If I have a gift for you, that certainly means that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that means?
All right.
You know that I write a, you know, say a couple of words. It's like, wait a minute, or you know, you give that to me. That means okay, yeah, Chuck, yep, mm-hmm, got it. No. The highest form of love, the highest way that we can love God and love others is to lay our lives down. And in terms of talking about loving God, is that we just obey him.
Mm.
We say, God, I just want to be right with you. I want to be right with you. Think about your testimony. we heard on VFN Radio, Pat, where you just said, you know, you gave your, we're talking about remembering the wonders of the Lord. If you missed that, you got to go to the Torch, VFNTV.com, and go to the Torch and search for Remembering the Wonders of the Lord. And you shared your testimony about when you first gave your life to God. And immediately you were like, well, you knew what was right. You knew what was wrong. It's like,
yeah, nobody had to tell me.
Nobody had to tell you, but you knew that you wanted to obey him.
That's right.
How awesome is it when you have an awesome relationship with God that your love for him, your appreciation for what he's done, your thankfulness causes you to say, I just want to obey. I just want to be right with you. What do you say? What is your word?
Right.
But look, you only have 19% of the church actually abiding and reading their Bible. How are you going to even know what God's word says?
That's right.
God's word is a mirror. You know, and it reveals to us God's plans and what God's word is, instruction and his guidance.
That's right.
But you knew, you were like, no, no. And you're willing to take a stand for your love.
Yeah. I mean, I was so in love with him at that point. When God touched me, it was like, I instantly knew what sin was. I knew what was right and what was wrong. You know, nobody had to say anything to me.
Wow.
And I knew I could not keep doing what I was doing at that time. So it was, okay, I'm just going to trust you, God. You know, if I lose everything,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to do what's right.
That's right, because he says he writes his law in our hearts.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. As much as we try to bury it, ignore it.
Right.
And exactly.
I think it's just whatever. We're going to have to answer for it one day.
Yeah. Think about it. Everyone knows what they're doing is wrong now.
He built this.
It's like, I think that's your, I think God's speaking to you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That feeling there, you know what I'm saying? The conviction, you know what I'm saying? There's a reason. And we can turn back to God. In fact, you know, we have a segment on VFN Torch, how to turn back to God. But you can repent. You can turn back to God. These are terms and words that people don't even talk about anymore. It's like, listen, did you even think of the possibility that maybe you left God? You know what I'm saying? Well, I love him. First thing I'm going to tell you, I love God. I love. Well, how do you display your love? How do you display your love?
That's exactly right.
Because this is what God says. If you love me, and you got to come to the reality, because you know you may be listening today, and you know BFN Radio is for the church and for those that are being drawn to God, and you got to realize that maybe you don't love God. You got to examine your heart. You got to say, you got to be open to the idea that maybe you don't love God. And from there, you can begin to start. And we talked about, you know, we have a society that oftentimes doesn't want to deal with the reality. We people die, they cover deaths, they put a sheet over them. You know, it's amazing how we want to desensitize ourselves from feeling certain things. But when it comes to God, you want to be real. You don't want to gamble on eternity. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't want to gamble on the things with God. You want to know. And I'm always amazed at the time that people spend in searching, you know, interest rates on a new credit card, or searching the best interest rate on the new mortgage, or searching all the specs of their new LED 46-inch TV screen, or studying their Bose speakers and the sound quality. You know, I don't know. People get Bose speakers. I don't know. And
their
sneakers too. But you know, hey. But you know, but they go into this thing. Private joke, right? But they go into all this, like, this massive detail. They have no problem studying it, but how little is spent searching God out.
That's right.
Searching his ways out. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. And you got to go after God. You got to make him number one. You got to say in 2013, listen, I want to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all of my strength.
That's right.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right, but you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision, mm-hmm, about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let, mm-hmm, the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way? It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan,
yeah,
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
James, you know, our prayers have been going out to you and your coworkers and the family of your boss. I mean, how suddenly, you know, at 35 years old, to be able to lose, you know, your boss. I mean, that's just a young age to be able to pass. You just never know how long we have.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know that our heart goes out to you, her family, and co-workers right there. It is a time for us to realize that, you know, that's exactly, you know, when these towers fell and everybody's talking to Jesus about these towers falling, you know, Jesus said, no. This is to let you know that you're not going to live forever. And there's going to be a day, mm-hmm, that, you know, we're going to instantly, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with God. And so, mm-hmm, tomorrow, today, you know, when we were to pass today, if we were to fall and lose our last breath, that we'd be in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, will we have regrets? Will we have regrets, or will we be going, yeah, this is so wonderful, I'm glad to be here? Or will we just, mm-hmm, kind of like holding our head down going like, you know, mm-hmm,
I know I live my life for me, and all that stuff now means is meaningless, but it's a little late revelation because I left all that behind. Because when a man dies, the only thing they normally he takes with him or she takes with him is just whatever people choose to bury with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, there's nothing else. As a matter of fact, people line up to be able to get the things that you had, you know, and they, you know, Jesus talked about the guy coming to him and said, you know, my brother won't share my inheritance with him. He's going, you know, what are you talking about?
And what to do with that?
It's just amazing. The thing is that what Jesus is telling us is that you can't take anything with you. I mean, right. The rich man that was out, you know, that all day, all his whole life, he lived for himself, and he passed Lazarus outside the gates of his home, never paid attention to him. Well, he paid close attention to him when he died, because instantly he was with God, and he was looking at Lazarus, who was in a better place than him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it all just instantly your life, it's like your books get balanced in the throne room of God. And ever how we lived our life at that one moment, and there was this rich man, you see, his name was called him the rich man, and Lazarus, and Lazarus had a lot of sores on him. He was a homeless man who was sick, and things were so different then. And it's still that way in a lot of the earth, but in America, it's a very blessed nation. But he would just beg for money, and he was outside this man's house, and this man just didn't pay much attention to him. He didn't share his things with him. He didn't think it was a big priority, this guy out here in the front, but he didn't understand God. You know, with God, everybody's important.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, especially the least amongst us, is very important to him. And of course, when they both died, the Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. He's with God. But the rich man who had all the stuff and things and everything that he thought was so important, he left all that behind, and now he was in hell.
Right.
And it was so tormenting. He's saying, listen, can you go back and tell all my friends and my family and all the people that I lived the wrong life in front of them? Can you tell them that I was wrong? That if they don't start living for the Lazarus, if they don't start living and paying attention to the homeless and the hungry and the needy and sharing their stuff. I mean, think about this. I mean, this is a huge paradigm shift for America, because according to George Barna, 97% of the regular church attenders who attend their gatherings at least once every 2 weeks don't share their stuff even with God. Is that not right? I mean, is that what he says? He says 97% or basically only 3%, according to George Barna with the Barna Group, did a study of regular church attenders who gather once every 2 weeks, that they don't tithe, which means they don't even give God what's his.
Right.
Right.
Man, Lord, remove the blinders from our eyes. I mean, Jesus wasn't talking about the tithe with this rich man. He was talking about sharing his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is stealing God's tithe going to weigh out in the gates of heaven? A lot of people tell you what it is, but why don't you get in the Word of God and find out what God says about it?
Yeah.
Because if we won't share what God's blessed us with the homeless or with the needy or even with God.
Yeah. Well, Malachi says, you know, you offer me blemished sacrifices. And God's like, if I'm your father, where's my honor? And it's a really serious thing that the Lord saw there, especially when he's talking to the Levites. He said, you got to honor me. You got to honor me with what I, you know, with what I have commanded you to honor.
That's what it boils down
to,
is it honor?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, is honor.
Absolutely.
Everybody's like, that has nothing to do with money. Listen, God wanted our stuff. He could take it instantly. It's all his.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's like, you're not even acknowledging that I exist or that I gave it to you. That I blessed the work of your hands, that I caused America, for example, to be one of the blessed, most blessed nations on the face of the earth. And you're not even sharing with me what's mine.
Right.
The tithes and the offerings.
In fact, you're robbing me.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said robbing. And then he begins even to rebuke the Pharisees about how they were manipulating all of his stuff and saying, listen, you got to do both of them. He said, you got to honor your father and your mother and honor God with the first fruits, with the tithes. He said both of them. And he said, you're nullifying everything. You're just making, it's just all for naught. You're making my word of non-effect because you're bringing your traditions in and you're just twisting everything. But the whole thing, this is my concern part about the whole thing. And we're saved by grace. We're not saved because we did something.
But you got to question the fact that if I say Jesus is the loving Lord of my life, I've given my life to him, would I not consider honoring him? Mm. I mean, you know, not even just with my finances, but with my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With my life. When you think about when Jesus was talking and gathering a few people around him to teach them to be fishers of men, he just looked at Peter and Andrew and just said, come, follow me. Hmm. And they dropped the way they make money. They just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sit there and say, well, you know, let me figure out how to sell these nets and kind of do a business merger with somebody and get some sort of annuities going. And they just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got too much stuff. There's way too much stuff in America. And hence, there's so many considerations when, you know, you're having to make decisions because how am I going to keep my stuff?
Mm.
How am I going to keep my things? You know, mm-hmm. we've never lived in a tent. You know,
and our 46,000 storages spread across the country.
which aren't we? 46,000 storage units. But in all the world, what percentage?
Well, it's 56. There's 56,000. There's about 56,000
in the world.
It's about yeah, in the world. So the United States has 46,000 of those 56,000 storages in the United States.
So out of 56,000 in the world, we have 46,000 of them.
Yep. Wow. They say 1 out of 10 households has a storage unit for their stuff, and the storage industry says that most of the stuff that's in the storages is just junk that most people refuse to just get rid of. We just keep hoarding and hoarding and hoarding.
Instead of just giving it to someone.
Right. And they know it. The storage industry knows it, but just people don't want to get rid of their stuff. They want to just keep hoarding it all.
Well, I do want to say, first of all, if you do have a storage unit, you're not a sinner. They're like, oh my goodness, I got a storage unit.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now.
Mm-hmm.
And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week, and in that it has the offers and things that are going on as well. Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light, on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But think about this, too. If there's something that we're not going to use, why not just give it to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you guys can attest, I give everything.
I know.
No, don't get
that. We need that.
The benefit of not seeing everything helps you. No, that's your lung. But it's just, you know, it's just freeing just to just hold everything loosely. Yeah. That if God gave it to you, then you know you can sow it. You can give it to someone because you don't know your day could be called tomorrow. You could, you know, be like this 35-year-old boss where she's just falls dead. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's nothing else you could do at that point. It's just, you know, it's it. There's nothing else. And if you spent everything like the rich young ruler on yourself and you were planning like a lot of Americans have in regards to my pensions and all this stuff we talked about yesterday, if you missed yesterday, you got to find out about pensions and what's going to happen in 46 states. You can find out more about listening to yesterday's program. But 46 states are supposedly do not have the funds to pay any of these pensions that are coming due this year. Well, what's coming due this year also? Baby boomers are retiring 10,000 a day or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's everything's coming due. At the same time, we have our president running around with the American Visa card, you know, not only charging, maxing it out, but running to China and say, hey, can you add credit limit to the American Visa program? Mm. And we're fixing to borrow more billions of dollars. And it's like this whole thing is happening before our very eyes. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't, to go to VFN TV and watch these prophetic teachings to encourage you, to tell you this is not a surprise. This is actually God's got his, the ones who've been wanting to reach the world, you finally got them where you want them to be. Mm. You know, it's like Paul standing before King Agrippa, and here he is chained up, and he wasn't worried about it standing in front of King Agrippa. He says, thinking, I got the king right where I want him. Now he's listening to me.
Right.
And the king says, you almost convinced me.
Reminds me of something you were talking about this morning, regards to, you know, how short life is. Mm-hmm. And I just recently was reading in Ecclesiastes where it says, this is Solomon talking. He says, the day you die is better than the day you were born. Oh. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties.
Oh, wow.
He says, after all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. And he says, wow. Okay, here he says, sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool always thinks about having a good time.
Wow, a fool.
This is very profound to me because, you know, there's been seeing a lot of death recently this past year, and it really makes you reflect, you know, where your heart is in regards to.
Yeah.
Life is short. I mean, we got to live like, you know, that there is no tomorrow. We can't assume that we're always going to have tomorrow.
Right.
And it's tomorrow is always written in a fool's calendar.
Right.
And recently, when I, you know, Pam, as she passed away, and how she, that whole thing, and how she, that whole progression of, you know, how that the cancer worked on her life. And, but, you know, it brought her to a point of decision, mm-hmm. where she realized life is not certain, it's not forever. And I got to make my life right with God.
Right.
And it was a beautiful thing because of the cancer. She did get her life right with God. And us as believers, we've got to live like there is no tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. I don't care who you are.
You like this young lady, 35 years old. She's the boss.
Exactly. That's what
all of a sudden, she just drops.
Yeah.
Dead.
Mm. It's gone. It's over. You know? And
whoever thought that, you know, I'm going to drop my child off today at Sandy Elementary School, mm-hmm. and this would be their last day on the face of this earth. Mm. You just don't know. Yeah. Just don't know.
And it's interesting, the way he said it is that the sorrow refines us. Mm. And refining is that purity that you know, gets rid of the stuff that's in your heart, and it purifies us and it draws us closer to God. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You know, you can go to a party all day long, but does that bring you closer to God? But when you go into these rough times in your life and this grief and sorrow and, you know, the trials and tribulations of life and how that draws you to God.
Right.
It's a God thing. It's not a negative thing. I mean, it feels like, you know, it's very painful at the time.
Sure.
but it's something that God's using in your life to draw you closer to Himself.
Yeah, you think about it, there's a time and a season for everything.
Yeah.
And it's like seasons where sometimes when you just get tired of summer, then when winter hits or fall hits, it's just so refreshing.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
But then you get, you know, tired of fall and then winter hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get really tired of winter if it's just snowing. And it's so refreshing when spring hits.
Yeah.
And these seasons, we go through things in these seasons that makes us long for the next season. That you're right, that begins to refine us. Literally, in the vegetation life, that's exactly what happens, because it has to go through the dying process of the winter and the seed and go into the spring and the germination and the weather and the spring and the bursting forth from the soil and the growing and the harvest. And but then it has to die off again to be able to be seed again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
That's good.
That is very good.
Yeah. Wow. And it's just like you think about, you know, we, of course, you know, you're in great shape, but, you know, I'd like to be back in shape again.
Listen, all of our listeners know what kind of shape you're in.
Right. You've got them convinced.
Or faith. You're speaking faith, right?
But the reason we don't do it
is
because of the pain involved in it. You say, well, I'll just get to that later. You know, that's just too painful. I don't want to go through that process.
Is it painful?
Oh, yeah. It's very painful, especially when you first get started.
Now, you used to work out all the time.
Years ago, I did.
That's back, you know, that's what you did.
That's all I did.
And you squoze in work.
Yeah, squoze in work.
And balancing your checkbook.
Yeah, tried to balance my checkbook.
All those millions.
Yeah.
Talking about levitation, this, before you knew the Lord, he knew how to make things levitate. You can make a check levitate for a month.
Right.
No.
But then once you do it and you get used to it and your body gets accustomed to it, then it's not a big deal.
You start wanting it.
You start wanting it. You start... You know, you just do it every day. It's just no big deal.
What was
and
life
you,
like?
And you feel guilty when you don't do it.
Yeah, what was life like without it?
Exactly. It's like, what was I thinking, you know?
Right. I think I remember that. I guess.
It's been a while. It's been a while. That's why I'm kind of putting it off. I'm putting it off.
You know, I had that, my trainer, you know, I had that accident that I never thought that I would be into cardio, like running down a road or something of that nature. And, of course, he was all like, you know, you got to do cardio 5 times a week, 6 times a week. Mm-hmm. If there was 8 days, you might need to do it 8 days. Like, I don't like you. Of course, I did like him. He's very, his name's Andrew. If anybody's in Birmingham, you need a trainer. He is the man. He abandoned me, but he's in Andrew.
Mm.
And he got, it was amazing. Once he took me through the pain and the suffering and he explained things as I was going through and he was very patient with my whining. I remember I was right in the middle of a fast. I was in a fast. And we were doing, I don't know, a 7-day fast with just water. Water or liquors, whatever. And I looked at him. I said, well, I'm not going to be able to work out because I'm going to be fasting so we can get back together again. After the fast, he goes, no, this is perfect. This is exactly what your body needs to
right.
do. Because you actually purge. You're able to work out and all the, you burn off all these toxins. And I'm like, we're going to exercise.
Are you serious?
We're going to work and we're going to work out and we're not going to eat. I thought, this man's lost his mind. And it was totally amazing that that you can do it.
Yeah.
I remember running up with some hill. Like the 4th day on a fast. And he showed up irritatingly early every morning. And he would run with me, which was pretty cool. And I was so amazed. It broke so many mindsets, you know, with him, because he was just, you know, if you get, you have to go through that painful suffering.
Yeah.
And get you a new bike seat. But you're right. I mean, and then all of a sudden you feel so good, but you didn't, it didn't feel good in the beginning. You had to go through a season of suffering. Mm-hmm. And then now you're right. It's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the truth is we always joke around Pat and I because we're struggling in that area. But John, before he gets up, he does crunches and pulls up with one arm.
Yeah. Right. Although
pulls up his fork with one arm.
What? Although recently Tony has convinced me somehow
run
some steps with him. And that's been very interesting. We've done it twice, and I said, okay, time for a break. I'm like, no. He's like, come
Tony,
on.
Tony, listen, more. You need to take him on them steps every day.
No.
That's great, man.
He started off light, 5. The next day he wanted to do 7. I said, come on now, man. But it's amazing what you guys are saying, because I used to work out.
Yeah.
But, really? It's so true. I mean, it really is so true.
Years ago, before he got, he only worked out long enough to get married, and that was it.
That was it.
That's right.
He used to walk around before he got married.
I guess
married.
It worked. He got a beautiful wife.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
Worked, man. Good job.
You should have stayed as beautiful as she did. That's unfair. You know? She stayed so beautiful. I mean, she held her bargain to this thing, you know. Yeah, he would walk around. He'd walk around and go, weak, 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 weak. He worked out so much, it was something. Isn't that something?
Something. That is something.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. You scrub a pup in Mariester, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer 3 levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. AB Mobile Mechanics. Fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps. On-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Park at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?